Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That one is does not injure. So make sure it goes into the face. Okay, so here we go. We're talking about the mercy sent down. We're talking about today's subject is the mercy sent down from Allah to His creation. His creation are people,
cattle,
and others.
Rania, sit there.
And are you pointing at me?
Because the creation of Allah.
You're going like that. It kind of looks like you're pointing at me.
Focus.
The creation of Allah is, you know, infinite. The number of creations of Allah are infinite. Just imagine every ant, every mosquito, everything that Allah, every bee, everything from Allah are created by Allah. So the number of creation from Allah is what? Infinite. Okay, this is why when you praise Allah, among the things that you say, I praise you for as much as or as many as your creation, which is infinity. You can't count them. But sending down from the mercy of Allah, Allah decides for His wisdom that one kind of mercy is sent by Allah directly and another kind of mercy.
Wait, speaking of mercy and infiniteness, so can I tell the story about the guy who... Yeah, okay. So there was this guy, and he... His entire lifespan, whenever he wasn't sleeping, he was praying or making dua. And so he did that for his entire life. And so he finally went to the Day of Judgment, and his... Of course, his good deeds outweigh his bad. And so Allah says, out of my mercy, send him to Jannah. And he's like... Okay, so out of your mercy, I've been praying for every single second of my life. How is that even possible? And Allah says, and so he's like, Allah puts the blessing of one eye?
Yes.
One eye. So Allah puts the blessing of one eye on the other side of all His good deeds. And the blessing of just a single eye outweighs all of His deeds. And so... Allah's like, okay, send him to hellfire, right? Because if I don't have mercy, then send him to hellfire. And he's like, no. It's okay. I'll go to Jannah on your mercy. Everything will be good.
So Allah qualifies you for His mercy, and His mercy takes you to where?
Jannah.
So when you're qualified, you say your good deeds, then you qualify only for the mercy of Allah. But you don't qualify for Jannah. But once you obtain the mercy of Allah, okay, Allah will send you to Jannah. But I'm not talking about this kind of mercy now. I'm talking about Allah sending mercy to His creation, through two people and to other people. So now, two types of mercy, sent by Allah, sent by others. So, in order to bring down mercy, okay, Allah needs knowledge to bring down mercy, right? In a wise way. So, what is that knowledge called? The divine knowledge. The divine knowledge, which means the knowledge of Allah. So, what's the meaning of the knowledge of Allah? Sabrina? What's the name of the knowledge of Allah? Divine knowledge, right? You know the word divine mean? Divine means what? God and heavenly. Right? Okay. So Allah sends down His mercy. And Allah knows where and how.
Unless you can put it in your mouth right now.
Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from, based on His knowledge. Based on His divine knowledge. So His divine knowledge... We'll say, for example, okay, this person needs a car. Let's get him a car. This person needs help. Let's help him. Based on the knowledge, based on what Allah knows. And we're going to talk about the story that basically make you understand that. There was Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and Prophet Musa asked Allah, am I the most knowledgeable person on earth? I don't know. I'm not aware of anybody who knows more than me. I mean, I'm your prophet. There's no way anybody has more knowledge than me. So Allah said,
I know this story.
Yes.
It's from Surah Al-Kahf.
That's right, from Surah Al-Kahf. Then Allah said, okay, you're saying, you know this. I'm going to send you to a person who has a knowledge way more superior to your knowledge. Your knowledge is nothing compared to this person. So the Prophet Musa said, yes, Ya Allah, can I go learn from him, please? I want to learn from him. So Allah said, okay, go to take a dead fish, walk by the shoreline. If the dead fish becomes alive and jumps into the water, at this location, you're going to meet the person who has knowledge superior to your knowledge. Think about it. Who knows better than Prophet Musa? What kind of knowledge? Okay. The divine knowledge. Based on this divine knowledge, Allah sends down His mercy. And the story is going to show you what do we mean by divine knowledge. So the guy said, okay, you will not be able to handle this. You're welcome.
This is Prophet Musa, right?
Yeah, Prophet Musa. And the righteous guy, let's call him the righteous guy. Not this person, not Musa. It's the person who knows better than Musa. Superior knowledge than Musa. So he said, you will not be able to handle it. Because you don't have the kind of knowledge that I have. Prophet Musa said, no way, just try me, please, try me. So he said, okay, but one condition. Whenever you see me doing something, don't ask, why did I do it?
So don't question it.
Don't question it. Okay? So he said, fine, that's good. Okay, so they went walking by the shoreline and sat down for dinner near a rock. And then at that rock, the fish became alive and jumped into the water. So he started looking for the fish, but later, after they finished the rest and they are continuing, while they are continuing, usually they check for the fish every time they rest. So this time they rested, but they did not check on the fish. And then they started going, they remembered the fish. So he said, where's the fish? Oh, the fish is not here. When was the last time we checked on it? We supposed to check on it. He said, at the rock where we rested. And we did not check on it. So since then, we did not check on it. So then they went backward to the rock.
Retrace their steps.
Back to the rock. And there they found the slave that has the divine knowledge. Okay. So Prophet Musa say, I want to learn from you. The guy say, you can't. You can't handle this much knowledge. It's beyond your ability. He said, try me, please. He said, okay, follow me, but don't question what I do. He said, fine. So now they are traveling across the shoreline, and the righteous guy wants to have a ride to the next coast. So from this coast, he wants to take a ship to the other coast. So they kept walking by the shoreline. Can you please take us to the other coast? How much money you have? I don't have money. You don't have money? Get out of here. Well, this is not a charity. Okay, next boat. Can you please take us to the next?
To the next coast.
To the coast. The coast in front, on the other side. The guy said, how much money do you have? He said, none. He said, get out of here. And they stayed like that for so, you know, almost like half a day like that. Almost, you know, like for a long time. And then there was a ship owned by righteous people. So when he said, can you please take us to the shoreline, to the coast on the other side? Okay. They said, you welcome, our brother. You welcome. They were very nice people. Fishermen used to work in fishing. So he said, yes. They said, yes, we will be glad to transport you and share our food with you. So that's even much better. So now they crossed to the other coast, and the fishermen wanted to go to the market to sell their fish, right? So Musa and the righteous guy pretended that he's walking away from the ship. And Musa followed him. Then he told the Prophet Musa, stop. Prophet Musa stopped. He said, follow me. They went to the ship. The guy took an axe and he started hitting the ship. He ruined the ship. Prophet Musa went, how could you do that to the good people? The people who gave us a lift. The people who transported us for free. The people who are so kind to share their food with us. How could you? So the righteous guy said, this is number
one. Strike one.
So he said, sorry, I will not ask you anymore. I just want to follow you to learn from you. He said, fine. Then they went traveling, arriving to a village. And in this village, there was a boy playing with other boys. So he grabbed the boy and he, you know, talked the boy into getting out of the town, convinced the boy to come with him. And when they are outside of the town, he killed the boy. What? I can imagine Prophet Musa saying, huh? What? What are you doing? You killing a boy? This is crazy. Why are you killing him? This is an innocent boy. So the righteous guy said, huh? Second strike. Strike number two. So then they walked, and he said, sorry, this is my last time. If I ask you, then you let me go. He said, fine. This is your last time. This is your last time. It's third strike. So now they went traveling, and they went traveling in a place in the desert, almost like a desert. And then when they reached the desert, the people of the desert, the people who live in this town, which is inside the desert, were so mean, unbelievably mean. The righteous believer and Musa were so hungry and thirsty. So they knocked on the door. Yes, who is it? We are strangers. We're looking for food to eat. We don't have food for you. Get out of here. They go to the next door. Who is it? You know, we're travelers. We ran out of food and water. Can you please give us some? Get out of here. So they passed by many people, knocked on the door of many people in the town. And they were the most mean people you can imagine. Get out of here. Get out of here. So they went into resting. And then when they rested, the righteous guy suddenly stood up and he said to Prophet Musa, follow me. So Prophet Musa followed him. And then he comes into the middle of nowhere. There is a very old house, which ruins basically. It's not really a house, it's ruined. It's all, you know, falling apart. So he started fixing it. He gathered wood. He gathered rock, okay? And he started fixing the wall of the house, okay? So he fixed it. And then Prophet Musa is watching. Oh, what is that guy doing? He said, shouldn't you just take some food as a charge, like ask people for food in return of fixing their wall? We're dying and we're so thirsty. Couldn't you just make it a trade? I fix your wall. And then you give me money or give me food? So the righteous guy said, third strike.
Too bad.
So the first strike for the what? For the boat of the righteous fisherman. The second boat. The second is killing the boy. The third
is
fixing the wall in the middle of nowhere in a very badly ruined house. So now, Prophet, now the righteous guy, by the way, some people call him Al-Khidr, the green one, the green man. Now, it's not Al-Khidr. Then what is the name of the righteous guy? We don't know his name. Allah called him in the Quran, the righteous slave. The righteous slave. Okay? So now the righteous slave started telling Musa, now I'm going to tell you about the knowledge, why I did it. Yes, I am recording, and also I'm going to refer them to the ayat in the Quran to summarize them. Summarize the story. Okay. You can get it from the tafsir of these ayat.
Is this all we're doing?
Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to tell you the story. He said, the first story, the people who owned the ship.
Do you want to complete the story? Go ahead.
No.
The people who...
Hold on. What was the secret about the people who got their boat, who, that the righteous guy ruined their boat?
Yeah, that's what she wants to say.
Somebody else wanted to buy their boat, so they ruined it, so that...
No.
There was...
No.
King.
No. Huh?
There was like a pharaoh or a king. He was taking everyone's boats that were good, so he ruined his boat, so his boat wasn't good.
There was a very bad, mean guy. Let me finish. There was a very bad, mean guy who wants, guy or a king, very bad king. He wants to go to war, and he wants to have ships so that his army, his soldiers get on their ship, and then he goes to war against his enemies using the ships that he stole, okay, from the... He takes the boats by force. Like he has his soldiers with him. And then he tells them, take the boat. No, why? Don't take my boat. No, kill him. So it's either that you give up your boat and no objection, or if you raise a voice of objection, you get slaughtered. So he said, I knew this is going to happen. This is what?
Going to happen.
Okay? So how can you know that? It's by through the what?
Divine
knowledge. Now you know what divine knowledge is. So then he went into the boy, and he said that boy is going to grow up to be a bear. Is going to grow up to be an awful, awful boy. He's going to be an awful criminal. He is going to show his parents hell. He's going to mock them. He's going to rob their money. He's going to beat them. He's going to make them the most miserable parents on earth. So I decided, or we decided, that we want to kill the boy. Why? Because Allah will replace this boy with another righteous boy. Exactly. Okay? So in order to know that when this boy is going to grow up to be a bad criminal, he needs what? That's what kind of knowledge?
Knowledge.
Yes, divine knowledge. Then he went into the wall. He said, the wall was falling down. And under this wall, there was a treasure. That's right. A treasure stored for innocent poor kids. Two kids. Okay? And these two kids,
two boys, yes.
And those two boys, their parents were righteous parents. So to honor the boys, Allah, before the parents die, they hide the treasure. Where?
Under the wall.
So Allah, because their parents were righteous, Allah wanted to honor them by saving this treasure until they grow up and get it. Now, if the bad people know about the treasure, would they?
They know about the treasure because they're going to destroy the wall, right? And then when they're building it, then they have to dig the foundation so it doesn't crumble. And when they dig, they're probably going to find the treasure.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Once the wall falls down, the treasure will be visible. So he said, I fixed the wall. Until they grow up, and become strong and take their wealth and defend their wealth, be able to defend their wealth. So nobody's going to... Yes. And then he said, and by the way, you're not following me anymore. Bye. So now you see what divine knowledge. So what kind of knowledge Prophet Musa had? Did he have the divine knowledge?
No.
He had the Sharia knowledge. Sharia knowledge. So what's the difference between Sharia knowledge and divine knowledge? Sharia laws has to do with halal and haram, basically, just to make it very simple. Has to do with haram and halal. And it has rules. It has rules. This is the Sharia law. You can learn, Prophet Musa learned about Sharia law from heaven by communicating with Allah. With communicating with Allah directly. Okay? So, this guy has a knowledge which is way more superior than this Sharia knowledge, which is the knowledge of the divine knowledge. Perfect? Okay. So now let's go back to the story and explain what happens. In the first story where the righteous guy, the righteous slave, ruined the boat, he ruined it to bring down mercy, right? But is this a sour mercy or a sweet mercy? Sour mercy, right? It's mercy, right? The guy doesn't know, the people don't know that what's going to happen, that the king is coming. But it is, when they saw the boat ruined like that, okay, and they probably cried and they were sad and they were worried and what are we going to do now? We live on fishing, blah, blah. They didn't know it's a blessing until
the king came
collecting the boats to go to war. So this is a sour mercy because it caused pain. And the pain didn't go until they saw the king coming back. So in this, he said, the righteous said, I ruined the boat. I ruined the boat. He says, I. He didn't say we. He didn't say Allah. He said, I.
So the king?
No, the guy.
Oh, yeah, the
righteous slave who ruined the boat. Yeah. He said, I. So the mercy here is coming through this righteous slave. Why? Allah gives him. Giving down mercy, is it the business of Allah or the business of the people? The business of Allah, right? So in order for a person to bring down the mercy of Allah to people, okay, this person has to have the knowledge of Allah. The divine knowledge. So Allah gave him the divine knowledge that he needs. So Allah enabled him doing so. Now, when he was talking about killing the one boy, to the parents who are righteous, and to protect them and to get another boy. This the group, he said, we decided to kill the boy. So we decided to kill the boy. So ruining the boat, he said, I decide to ruin the boat. When it comes to the killing the boy, it says, we decided. So killing the boy, was it mercy or not? It's mercy.
Yeah?
Sour mercy, mashallah, Dina. Got it? So the second time it was a sour mercy. The third time, when they fixed the wall. So the guy said Allah wanted to keep the wall up, so until they grow up and claim the treasure.
Would be Allah?
So the third one would be Allah. So the first one he said, I. The second time he said, we. The third time said, Allah.
When he was younger, will he go to Jannah?
Yes, that's probably another good thing. Allah saved him from hell.
Because if you die...
No, if you die as a kid...
As a kid.
None of your deeds are accounted.
Are the... you know the beautiful girls and boys in the Jannah, you know, walking around among the people of Jannah, bringing them joy and serving them. The person who dies young, no test that person. This person goes to Jannah as among those children.
Because what's Allah going to be doing? You didn't share this toy with this little kid.
So that's the job of the parents. Okay? So a parent, you need to learn this. Your kids, if they do something wrong because you were not parenting them right,
you have to pay for it.
No, they pay for it. They carry the sins.
Yeah, the parents.
Yeah, the parents carry the sins. The boys and the girls, little boys and girls, don't carry the sins. At the same time, if the little girl or the little boy did something good because his or her parents taught them this good thing, the parents get the reward. Okay?
It's actually a really important point. So when you guys grow up and have children, if that's going to happen, I don't really know for each and every one of you, but it's really important to teach them, because the choice is them whether to take in that information or not, but at least you can come on the Day of Judgment and be like, Ya Allah, I taught
my
them. I did my part. It was all them.
Like the son of Prophet Nuh.
He tried to get
but he insisted on becoming an enemy with his father. So it's not his father's fault at all, because he taught him and he refused to learn or to listen even. So the third time when the wall is fixed, is that a sour mercy or sweet mercy?
Sweet.
How did you decide?
Because it was helping the house and it was saving the treasure of the boy.
Yes, but the people, the kids waiting for the treasure, did they have any kind of pain?
No.
Did they even know about the treasure?
No.
And they are living like happy kids, and Allah's taking care of their business, okay, without them feeling anything.
So guys, is it sour or is it sweet?
Sweet.
Sweet mercy. So when it comes from Allah, it is sweet. When it comes from Allah, it is sweet.
But you can kind of tell, like, ruined a boat, so the guy had divine knowledge, and he knew what was coming next. The guy caught, the crew did kindness to the divine knowledge guy, and so he decided to, on Allah's will, of course, to fix, or not fix, ruin the boat. And then here was killed a boy, so it was we, because...
Let me explain where it was, because it was we. It was we, became even more sour. Okay. The sour of ruining the boat. Which one is worse, ruining the boat or the sour of killing the boy?
Killing
the boy. Why? Because it's much more painful to the parents. And it will never become visible to the parents. Why did Allah kill that boy? They won't know about that until the Day of Judgment. Okay. When one person decided, it became sour. A group of people decided, or a group of creation of Allah decided, it became more sour. When Allah decided, it became sweet. A sweet mercy. So, sour, sour, sweet. Now, when I say I, why did he say I? Because Allah put him in a charge at this time, in this place. So Allah says, this is your area, this is your place where you're going to bring down my mercy. By the way, if you ever know someone who's like this righteous slave, okay, then he's not righteous slave. One of the things about the righteous slave, nobody would recognize him at all, zero. So if somebody knew that he's a righteous slave, then he's not a righteous slave. Okay? So he said, Allah said, this area is yours from year 5 to year 7, for example. And then your job ends. Maybe you die or whatever, or you retire, your job ends. And then, so when he was in this area, the boat was okay, it was his job to save the boat of those righteous fishermen. Okay? So because it's his area and his territory and his time. Now, when it comes to the boy, okay, the boy doesn't live in a certain, you know, when the boy is going to be killed, okay, to know, to decide about killing the boy, it has to be done from a righteous guy from the future. So after this righteous slave ends his job, another righteous slave takes over, okay? So, and a previous guy was before. So all of them decided together. How? I can imagine a conversation that the righteous guy is saying to the righteous guy in the future. Remember, divine knowledge, they can communicate outside of time. He said, is this guy ever going to be, ever going to repent? He said, unfortunately, no. Is there a way to really fix him? He said, unfortunately, no. There's no way. So they said, okay, is it possible that we can give the parents another child? Then the angel that has the book of dividing shares of life among people, the angel who has this book, okay, tells them, no, you can't give him more than one boy. Why? Because Allah assigned to them only one boy. That's it. They get the boy, good or bad, that's their share. Okay? So now the future guy says he's going to be really bad, and the only way to fix him is to take away his free will and move him like a slave with the boy. Right, left. And Allah will not do that, because that's not the way Allah runs business on this planet. Allah runs the business on having people having what? Free will. So basically, they decided together that the only solution was to kill the boy. Sour, worse, awfully sour, more sour, mercy. Then in the third situation, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brings down the mercy. It was very sweet. Nobody was in pain. The righteous guy was among his territory, with his territory and time. He went through that situation, and then he, using the knowledge of Allah, the divine knowledge, he knew that was going to happen. So he corrected. He brought down the mercy of Allah. All right, so lessons learned.
Anybody?
Or let's say, if you have any questions before we say lesson learned. Okay. That there is a superior knowledge to the knowledge of people who live on earth called
divine knowledge.
Second lesson, that you might hate something and it's good for you. Like you might hate ruining the ship, but it's really mercy. It's good for you. Maybe later on, when you see the king collecting the boats, they felt that, oh yes, Allah wanted to save our boats. Okay?
Because he can fix it afterwards.
Yes, they can fix it after the bad king. So the bad king looks at the boat and says, now this is a bad boat. Next. And he goes to the next people. And he does it in a way that nobody escapes. Like they did it suddenly, attack the shoreline, the coastline, and then started collecting boats. So you might have something that is looks bad, but it is actually good. All right? Killing the boy. Tell me about it. You know how much sadness parents get when their child dies or killed? This is an awful thing when their child dies, because he died as a kid. You know, kids are nice and kind and cute, right? So they say, this cute boy, what's going wrong with him? He's cute and he's laughing and he's running around. Why did Allah take him? You know, if you're not a good believer, you would say that. But if a good believer you would remember that although it looks sour, although it looks evil to you, but it is actually mercy. Mercy from Allah. Okay? I can imagine those parents will not know that until they meet Allah in the Day of Judgment. Then Allah will tell them. But right now, when their boys die, they have no idea why was he killed and who killed him. So that's another bad thing that you think it's a bad, but it is good for you. Now, in the third scenario, nothing is bad. Nothing is bad. Nobody was harmed. Nothing is bad. The kids were all not even thinking about any treasure waiting for them. Okay? Now, what other lessons we learned? Other than you might hate something, but it's good for you, and you might love something, but it's bad for you. Huh? Huh? Yes, Asma.
That when children are killed, it doesn't really, it's not really a bad thing because they'll definitely be in Jannah.
Yes, exactly. And by killing the boy when he's young, he was saved from hellfire. So that's even good for the boy. Allah, out of his mercy, he didn't want this boy to go to hellfire. Why? As an honor to his parents. Because Allah said in the Surah Al-Kahf that his parents were very good, righteous believers. So to honor them, Allah made the, such a decision. That like, the first boy goes to heaven as a boy, and the second boy goes to heaven as a man. Okay? And they are not exposed to the awful deeds, criminal deeds, that their boy is going to do to them. So what was the lesson again you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Children who die will always be in
Jannah.
It's like a mercy from Allah.
It's like a mercy from Allah, but it's very sour. Really very sour. Huh?
That I've also learned that no one can ever have more knowledge than divine knowledge.
Exactly. No knowledge in this universe is superior to the divine knowledge.
I heard that if someone commits suicide, then they go to hell.
Yes.
But what if you're...
But unless they're crazy.
Because
crazy people, insane people.
Well,
yeah, child goes to
Jannah. Your choice, because it's suicide, your choice, you're pretty much accountable for it. Unless you're like playing for a knife, and then you're like...
That's not suicide. It's not suicide.
That's not suicide, that's just a terrible accident.
Yeah.
But when you're like a kid and you're driven to it, what...
And you didn't commit suicide, then you go to Jannah.
Well,
as
if you're driven to it by bullying, you can imagine that the bulliers will also get a lot of say in it. They're probably going to be really sorry for it, but it's the matter of will they stop bullying after that?
Well, there are three situations where we are not account for the bad deeds. Who knows those three situations?
If you have no free will and if you're a...
Yes, if you're forced it. If you're forced it. Even marriage contract is nullified if you are forced it. You might love something and it's bad for you.
No, not her.
Yeah.
Oh, I said no one's ever smarter
than... Yeah, nobody has superior knowledge. So you might love something... I'm sorry. What was that thing again? Yes, three situations. What are they? Asma?
If you're a slave or...
Yes, by force.
Yeah,
any contract is nullified by force. Any signed contract, even marriage contract, if it's done by force, it is nullified. So if somebody is pushing you, then you're on an account. Like Ammar ibn Yasir, they were torturing him so much, the bad guys, bad lords, the Arab lords. They were beating him up so much and asking him to curse the Prophet. So after they killed his mother, his mother and his father were being punished. So his mother died under torture, his father died under torture, and now his turn. Out because they have been doing so much to him, he cursed Prophet Muhammad, and he called him a liar, and he called his messages a lie. So basically, that's what they wanted to hear. So he made them hear it so that they let him go. So he went to the Prophet crying. He said, I did this and that. The Prophet said, how is your heart? He said, no, my heart is not with this. My heart believes in Allah and His Messenger. So the Prophet said, if they do go back to torturing you, then you go back to the same, saying the same thing. Okay, so that's one, when you're forced. Number two,
if you are insane,
or if you lose consciousness. If you are insane or you lose consciousness, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, that is the second thing that Allah forgives suicide.
What if you commit suicide, but what if you're like a football player and you have so many concussions that you're just and then you commit suicide? Because there's a lot of football players who do.
It's like if you're in pain and you just decide.
No,
that's not forgiven, because pain.
That's not what I mean. I mean, if you're like a football player and you hit your head a lot and you have a lot of concussions and you don't know what you're doing, you commit suicide.
Yes.
Well, then you don't know what you're doing. You're losing your
consciousness. Okay. You're losing your consciousness. So being forced, losing consciousness, and what is the third?
I forgot the third.
Which is if you are at sleep. If you are asleep.
So
if
you're not accountable for prayers if you're in a coma.
unless you plan to wake up during the prayer, but you can't, then you're not accountable. But if you intentionally set your alarm every day to 8 o'clock in the morning, then you are planning to skip Fajr. So that's a different story. So there's a story that you can't, and there's a story that you don't
want. Put your alarm on for Fajr time, but you don't wake up.
This, then Allah...
Okay.
Yeah, you try. Okay. Some people walk when they are asleep. They are not responsible for what they do. Okay.
That's really dangerous.
Some people go into mania condition, start breaking things around and become very violent because of whatever medication, like schizophrenia or whatever medications or whatever.
We need to leave early.
Okay, we're done.
Wait, we're done?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is the third case when people are asleep or mentally ill or being forced.
I hope you guys took notes. Good job. One day we will not take a picture of the notes and ask you guys.
You know their names now?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have Shanez, Hasima.